In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we continue our We Preach Christ Crucified series, we see tonight that we preach Christ crucified as we share in partaking the Lord's Supper. The word of God for our sermon are the words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, reading there verses 23 to 28. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, in whose blood there is the forgiveness of our sins. You communicants, whenever you come up to the Lord's table, become preachers. You are preaching a sermon that proclaims the Lord's death. You are preaching a sermon that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is most certainly true until our Lord comes. That such an urgent and important giving and receiving need to be done regularly. And that's why Jesus instructed his first disciples and then later instructed the Apostle Paul and this evening instructs us to partake of the Lord's Supper often, to do it regularly as we remember what Jesus did for us. It is such a wonderful and powerful gift that God wants us to repeat it time and time and time again. As I said, in keeping with our theme, We Preach Christ Crucified, we see that we preach Christ crucified as we share in partaking the Lord's Supper. And when you preach your sermon, when you come up to the Lord's table, that sermon has three parts. Your sermon is about what the Lord's Supper is. It declares what the Lord's Supper does. And it confesses with whom you share that receiving of the Lord's Supper. Professor Dan Deutschlander, in his excellent popular commentary on Christian doctrine, wrote these words about Holy Communion. Quote, "More ink has been spilled in attacking the Bible's teaching about the sacrament of the altar than perhaps any other doctrine of God's word." Unquote. And then Professor Deutschlander goes on to give the reason why that Satan has such a great despising of the Lord's Supper. Satan despises this great expression, as Professor Deutschlander then wrote, quote, "from God's heart to our hearts," unquote. Rather than spreading the poison of Satan's lies, as do the pens of the false teachers about the Lord's Supper, When you come to the Lord's table, when you share in partaking the Lord's Supper, you are preaching a sermon that is the truth. It is the truth because it is the Word of God. Because you are observing the Lord's command concerning Holy Communion. When Jesus instituted that Lord's Supper, He gave the exact words that makes Holy Communion what it is. Those words are repeated by the pastor each and every time we prepare to give and have you receive the Lord's Supper in the words of institution. The Lord's Supper is bread and wine and the true body and blood of Christ. When you partake in the Lord's Supper, you are preaching a sermon about what Lord's Supper is. It is a sacrament. It is the miracle of the sacramental union of those four elements. Jesus' words of institution are plain and they are clear. This is my body, which is for you. This cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood. How this can be, we leave to God. But when you come up and take communion, you are expressing your belief that Jesus' words are true. And to put a little bit of a different spin on a popular expression today about the Lord's Supper, it is what it is. It is the true body and blood of Christ. The bread and the wine do not symbolize Jesus' body and blood simply so that we can remember what He did. We do not turn the bread and wine into actual flesh and blood and then re-sacrifice it so that by virtue of our action, God forgives our sins. The Lord's Supper is the miracle of the real presence of that very body and blood that Jesus offered up and shed on the cross. It is the atoning payment for all of our sins, which we give and receive with the bread and the wine. Every Sunday when I teach Bible class, or I preach a sermon, or when you come with some problem or whatever, and I share God's Word with you, in all of those circumstances, I share the Word of God because I trust it. I trust it to be the truth. I trust it to be God's Word and exactly what you need. When you come to the Lord's Supper, you preach a sermon by partaking in that Lord's Supper. You're saying, I trust the words that Jesus said. I believe them, and I know that they are just exactly what I need. Lord's Supper is a means of grace that offers and gives the forgiveness of sins. And therein lies the second part of the message of your sermon. When you preach Christ crucified by partaking in the Lord's Supper, you proclaim what it does. And what it does is, as I said, it forgives sins. Jesus gave the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the sacrament of the altar, the Eucharist. He gave that so that we would remember Him till He comes again. That's certainly an aspect of Lord's Supper. But it's not merely that. It's not merely a remembrance. The Gospels declare that. For example, St. Luke says, quoting Jesus, "This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Christ's sacrifice on the cross seals the new covenant that God gives us to forgive us for breaking the old covenant. So it would do us no good just to remember what Jesus did. But every time we partake in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim that He is giving us the forgiveness of our sins. That He is giving us those things that He gave for us on the cross. Christ's sacrifice is the gospel. It is the means by which Christ forgives our sins. And as we say in the Catechism, wherever there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the perfect example of love to which Jesus alludes in the mandate from which this holy night gets its name, Maundy. Maundy comes from the word mandate, and it really doesn't have anything to do with the Lord's Supper. It has to do with the sacrifice of love that Jesus was about to make, and we heard it in our gospel lesson. "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." So Jesus was giving them that love and then gave them that mandate of self-sacrificing love for one another. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are preaching that that's what we believe it is. That we're receiving that sacrifice of love. When we take Lord's Supper, we are taking Jesus' death. We are taking Jesus' atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that forgives our sins. And that forgiveness is a mandate for us now in that love of Christ to love one another. Holy Communion is not a mere repetition of historical fact that has done us eternal good. It's not a sacrifice by which I earn the forgiveness of sins by simply eating and drinking. Holy Communion is the giving and receiving of the gospel. It is the giving and receiving of the forgiveness of all of our sins. The gospel puts the blessing of Christ's body and blood and forgiveness into the sacrament. Our faith is the hand that holds that body and blood of Christ and that forgiveness when we receive the sacrament. When you receive Lord's Supper, you are receiving the Lord's death for you. You are proclaiming to the world that you rely on His death, His righteousness that He offered in that death as the payment for sin. You never preach your sermon by taking communion, by partaking in the Lord's Supper alone. You never do it by yourself, even when you're taking private communion. When Paul uses the word "you" here in quoting Jesus, the "you" is plural. There's a communion. There's a fellowship. There's a joining together in taking the Lord's Supper. There is a common confession, a common belief when we preach Christ crucified by partaking the supper together. On Sunday morning, when I preach a sermon to you, there are over 1,000 Wells pastors that are preaching sermons roughly at the same time. How do we know that the source and the content and the application of those over 1,000 sermons are the same? That they agree? Because we're all pastors in one common confession. We're all pastors in one church. All of us believe what the Bible says. All of us apply the Bible as it says, the way God wants us to apply it. All of the brothers in the ministry agree with the Bible, and we agree with each other about what the Bible says. And we confess that, as I said, by our unity in one church body, by our unity of confession of our faith. Not only our Christian faith, but also our Lutheran faith in the Lord's Supper and in all the things the Bible teaches. Now think in those terms when you take communion on Sunday morning. You're not by yourself. And you're not even just with the 70 or 80 other people who are taking communion on that Sunday. You're taking communion with all those other almost 300,000 communicants in the Wisconsin Synod who are preaching the same sermon that you're preaching. This is what we believe. This is what we confess. We share in that unity, in that fellowship, in that commonality of our faith. When you come to the Lord's Supper with other people, you're all preaching a sermon together. You're saying, you know, we've examined ourselves and we see and admit that we're lost and condemned sinners. We believe that Jesus, all of us, that Jesus is our Savior from sin. All of us have studied God's Word and we see where Jesus' words are true. And they're a miracle, even though we don't understand them. But we believe them. We all intend, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to mend our sinful lives and to love one another as Christ has loved us. We preach Christ crucified. When you come to the Lord's Supper, you never come alone. Even when you're by yourself receiving private communion. Because you're preaching a sermon that you hold in common with all of the other Christians and fellow Lutherans who confess the same confession as you confess. And then when you've examined yourself and you've confessed those things, then you know that when you come to the Lord's table, as Paul says, recognizing the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, then you will not have to be afraid about sinning against that body and blood of Christ, as if you didn't realize or believe that it was there. Then you know that you're not coming to the Lord's table in impenitence for sin, and thus making a mockery of the forgiveness that God gives in the sacrament. You come proclaiming your trust, your common trust with others, in everything the Bible says. At the foot of this chancel, you communicants share with others the preaching of the same truths of all the things the Bible teaches. And you know that, as humanly possible, by your union and your being united in our church. Taking the Lord's Supper with others is an act of fellowship. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace because it is the sacramental union. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace that offers and gives the forgiveness of sins with life and salvation. When you come and take communion with other Christians, you are confessing the fellowship of what you believe the Scripture says. Now, I can say with Paul, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you." Amen.